And when you think of your mom this Mother's Day, will there be a fragrance to go with that memory? Maybe banana bread or homemade pie? I've mentioned before that the thought of tuna noodle casserole with canned soup and topped with crunched up potato chips can bring me to my knees. Well, we asked you for family recipes to mark Mother's Day, and boy, did we hear from you. Here and Now resident chef Kathy Guntz joins us from her beautiful kitchen up in Maine with a look at Here and Now recipes from Mom. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Robin.
And boy, what did you think?
I think we touched a nerve. I was so overwhelmed by the responses and the comments we got. I mean, I sat at my computer and a few tears dropped down there. I mean, beautiful, beautiful stories. What it turns out is that people's memories of their mothers and grandmothers and aunts are so much based in the kitchen. They're so much based around a recipe that's been passed down. And the truth is that when you get into the kitchen and you turn on the stove and you start chopping those ingredients and you start to smell those smells again from your childhood, really huge sensory memories come up. I would say, in fact, that cooking a recipe from your mother is a stronger, more powerful emotional memory than wearing her clothes, being in her house, looking at her letters, more than anything.
Well, and even though both you and I think we could agree, had moms that weren't, you know, the greatest cooks, but there was something about, you know, just their recipes. And Richard Frizzell sent us his mom's recipe for cream chip beef, but he said everyone remembers his mom, Kathleen Sarah Frizzell, for her pies. You have his note there.
I do. You know, this was really kind of typical of some of them, just beautiful. He writes, one of the things Mom could do in amazing fashion was bake pies, all flavors and types. We honor her each year with a pie baking contest held during our family Christmas gathering. The award being Grandma's rolling pin mounted on a plaque with brass nameplates of the winners.
Isn't that something? What a great idea.
I love it. I mean, it's such a really unique way of keeping these recipes alive and honoring tradition and honoring these great ladies of the kitchen.
Well, and we're going to post all of these notes, but Richard also talked about photo albums put together with pictures and recipes, seasoning skillets. His mom seasoned skillets and gave them as gifts. So we'll have all of these notes in full posted at our website. Meanwhile, many of the recipes themselves were sent. I'm looking at one. This is from Leslie Bush. It's a tattered old index card. It has her mom's handwritten recipe for banana bread. What did she write, Kathy?
Well, you know, this is another beautiful thing. The copies of these recipes, they look like they're, you know, from an old black and white movie or some gorgeous photography exhibit you'd see at a museum of modern art, sort of an archive of the old kitchen. So Leslie writes, my mom is 72, still cooking wonderful dishes in the sixth kitchen of her adult life. This is the banana bread recipe she wrote out for me when I got married 25 plus years ago. Her creative use of ingredients and constant tracking of the household inventory taught me not to waste food, cycling items through original dishes, leftovers, and in a pinch, cream of dying vegetable soup.
Dying vegetable. I love that.
I do too. You know, Robin, it makes you realize the importance of passing on recipes from generation to generation.
One of our producers, Emiko Tamagawa, has a recipe from her mom that she thought she'd lost after her mom passed, and then it tumbled out of one of her own recipe files, and she remembered her mom had written it out for Emiko when she got married, and Emiko's copied it for her siblings, but she's kept the original, and she made one for us, which this is all by way of explaining I'm eating it right now, and it's just delicious. And to be able to have that, you know, from your mom.
It's so excellent that she thought it was lost, and it's found, and now she's cooked it for you.
Right, so it's not lost at all. We also heard from Sean Hayes in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His family would always gather in October to cook up massive batches of his grandma Knudsen's lefse. Now, this is Norwegian flatbread. It tastes like tortillas, softer maybe. He sent us a copy, but all he had from her was, you know, scrawled on this food-stained piece of paper, 6 cups of potatoes, 2 teaspoons salt, 4 tablespoons shortening, 3/4 cup salt. You know, what do you do with it? You know, his grandma eventually died, succumbed to cancer, and they decided to make the lefse, and, you know, they had to figure it out.
So we had to figure out how to rice the potatoes, that you have to soak the potatoes overnight. We kind of had a general idea, but this was the first time we had to do it. It's amazing to me that we have this recipe. Our family came here, you know, over 100 years ago from Norway, and this is like the only recipe. People have made a point to move it along the generations. It's something that's survived from Europe.
So something that, as Sean from Milwaukee says, survived decades. We've got all these recipes and notes posted at hereandnow.org. And some of them I have, as I said, made right in front of me. I've been nibbling on Kathleen McKenna's mom's Queen Elizabeth cake. Just gorgeous. And listen to the sound, Kathy.
Tuna noodle casserole.
That would be my family. This is just mac and cheese. Rachel Rohr, one of our producers, brought it in. And it's that squish sound, you know, it's just comfort food.
Well, I was just going to say, so much of this is comfort food. They're the recipes that are full of emotion and full of childhood taste and that people want just to bring back all those emotions.
And in this case, the mac and cheese is full of love and, in Rachel Rohr's family, full of celery seeds, which it's just a different taste.
Oh, nice.
Well, we also heard from people on Twitter. Their messages were shorter, but no less poignant. Whitney R. writes, whoopie pies. My New Hampshire mom perfected the recipe. Moist chocolate cakes with buttery vanilla filling. And our friends at New Hampshire Public Radio's Word of Mouth sent a recipe from the 70s. It's called Tennessee Peach Pudding, vanilla wafers, sliced peaches. All different, all great. And as Kathleen Hoag said, she wrote in her mom's recipe for Russian tea cakes, it's an honor. You know, it's sort of, it's honoring them.
That's exactly it. It is a complete honoring of the past and of the traditions. And like all kinds of history, this is culinary history. This is personal culinary history. And it's vital.
We got so many stories. Anne Riesenfeld of Sudbury, Mass. Sent in her Omi's, her grandma's chicken soup recipe. Now, her grandmother had survived the Holocaust. As she used to say, she thinks now God forgot about her because she lived such a long life. Anne sent out her grandma's recipe for chicken soup in 2008 in celebration of her grandmother's 100th birthday. But it was very hard for her to nail it down because sometimes, you know, grandmas, moms who've been making these things for so long, they're not, you know, they think, well, you know what to do.
Exactly. A pinch of this, a pinch of that.
So let's listen.
So I called her and it was sort of this funny back and forth where it felt a little bit like pulling teeth, you know, ah, to God, don't put too much water. So then I would say, okay, so what else? Vegetables? And she'd say, of course vegetables. Well, which vegetables? Well, soup vegetables, she'd say. And I think it was just that she was assuming that it was common sense. Everybody knows how to make chicken soup. And the big thing with Omi's chicken soup is that, and this is the trick, this is the secret, is that you don't put too much water in the pot. And the soup has to gel in the refrigerator overnight. If it doesn't gel, it's not going to have enough flavor. And we all make it. My sister and I, on the day that we found out that Omi died, we, unbeknownst to each other, we each made chicken soup that day. It's just what connects us. And the first question is, did it gel?
That's such a great story. I just love that.
And then, by the way, Omi lived to 104.
Lucky Anne for having that recipe and keeping it going.
Kathy Gunst, our resident chef up there in Maine, thanks so much for helping us compile these.
Thank you, and happy Mother's Day to all, and write those recipes down. Bring those kids into the kitchen. Keep those recipes alive. You will not regret it.